You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Monday, May 5th, and we're following food prices across the country today, talking to the people growing, transporting, and selling food. We're also going through the Sunday shows, which had a few fireworks, and we're going to take a look at the NBA playoffs. And as I said, part of our discussion is the food chain and how the folks along the line are dealing with the price upswings. Earlier, we spoke to a dairy farmer who told us he is feeling the pinch, and so are food makers and distributors. Ephraim Liebtag is an economist, with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Ephraim, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. What concerns you most about this upward trend of food prices?
Well, the biggest issue here in the U.S. has to be for low-income households and those on a tighter budget. With the higher prices, it definitely makes their purchasing behavior more limited, and they have fewer options when prices rise at an accelerated rate.
It's interesting because on one hand, there's an overall 4% increase, but on the other, some particular foods have gone up spectacularly, like eggs, for example, 30% more. That's a lot. Why the difference?
Well, the biggest factors in the food price inflation we've seen as of late are the sharply higher energy prices that we all see, because that doesn't just affect us at the pump, but also affects businesses that are dealing with higher costs. And related to that have been the much higher commodity costs of the raw food ingredients, partially because of a kind of surge in global demand, and partially due to some supply disruptions and some other factors that have led to a lot of commodities, including rice, corn, wheat, to be up near record highs.
Mr. Liebtag, you know, it motivates me to ask a naive question. If fuel prices are such a big factor in food inflation, can consumers help themselves by buying closer to home, where maybe transportation is not such an add-on in produce and other agricultural commodities?
Well, I mean, certainly buying local may mitigate some of the issues in terms of energy costs, your own transportation costs. But, of course, the majority of food is still mass-produced and transported across the country and across the globe, for that matter. So the overall prices aren't going to change too much if individuals on a small scale buy local. What's interesting, though, is kind of the production process that may shift depending on for how long and how high energy prices go. So, in other words, some of the advantages for businesses of mass production and transportation and distribution may change. So that, in the short term, it's hard for consumers to deal with it that way.
That brings me to my next question, which is, as you just described, the first thing that comes to my mind is then who along that food chain, from the farmer to the retailer, what part of that chain is getting hit the hardest?
Well, I don't think there's any data out specifically that shows exactly how these things are shared. It's going to depend for each individual farmer, manufacturer, wholesaler, retailer, and consumer. You know, in general, the more bargaining power you have, the easier it is for you to pass on costs. I think it really varies more on the scale, the size of the business, and then where consumers end up shopping in terms of how much more they're paying.
What do you make of the record prices of Archer Daniels Midland and Cargill?
Well,
profits.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the when prices are high and you're selling a product that's high priced, you can get additional profits that way. I mean, obviously, the raw commodities, the raw ingredients, the seeds, those are all in high demand. And so at this point, you know, it's not like this as much as the oil companies, but certainly when prices rise this fast and this high, someone has to be making a lot more money, at least in nominal terms.
Ephraim, I'm going to ask you to hold on for 1 second because we'd like to bring in Brian Fromm. He works for a company that hauls cattle and grains. And, Brian, you've been so worried about what's happening that you actually organized a rally for truckers. What were you hoping to achieve?
Yeah, we on the 28th of April, we organized this rally. And our deal was to bring attention to our federal government to help the small businesses of this industry. It's not just the trucking industry that's getting hurt. It's all small businesses. Our costs just get passed on down the line. And we were trying to get attention to the federal government. Big Oil's making record $123 billion profits in the last year, and we're having to absorb the cost on this fuel that's went up $1.40 in 1 year alone in costs.
Brian, can you break this down for us just to give us a sense of what you mean? Because in other words, how much has your daily cost for fuel
right.
as you carry materials across the country? How much has that changed? Can you give us specific numbers?
Over 1 year, our increase in costs went up 35 cents a mile, which doesn't seem a lot, but you average that over a truck that does 12,000 miles a month average, comes up to $4,200 a month these guys are having to absorb.
So wow, you're saying $4,200 additional costs.
Right, exactly, above and beyond. This is taking off the bottom line of what they make, right?
That's an enormous amount of money. I think that you've said that you have friends, you know, truckers who are handing in their papers, handing their trucks back to the banks because they're just not able to make ends meet. Are you seeing a lot of that, and is it your expectation that will continue?
Foreclosures in trucking industry are up 57% from a year ago. Bankruptcies are up 32%. Yeah, you know, in business that I do, we see that each and every day of guys just hanging it up or taking the keys back and handing them back. So what that translates to is more people on the jobless market, you know, I mean, or unemployment market, and fewer trucks to be hauling the produce, which in turn, eventually, all this is going to lead to is higher increases in the trucking, because guys are going to start putting the prices that they need on these to keep in business. Right now, we're not able to translate these extra fuel prices to the products.
But
right
eventually
now.
It's going to make its way to the consumer. That's right.
Eventually, yeah. Right. Eventually,
Brian,
this is going to get passed on.
Right. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Fromm, a trucker in South Dakota, and also Ephraim Liebtag was with us, who's an economist from the USDA. You know, it seems to me the takeaway from Ephraim at the USDA was the entire business model of mass-scale agriculture could change if these prices persist. He said that. That is an enormous, enormous bit of information from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.